This is the Mountain Bike Podcast number 10.
Number 10 already.
With me, Neil Donoghue.
And myself, Martin Ashton.
Of random tandem fame.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to do some Enduros myself.
Well, let's talk about that. Before we get into the Endurable Series, your random tandem with Danny Matt came out on Sunday.
Yes, amazing, eh?
Good video.
What a laugh. Yeah, it was great. I was really pleased with the interview.
Yeah.
Danny has been interviewed lots and lots of times, so it's quite hard to sort of get different reactions out of him because he's probably answered every question you can probably imagine.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was really great. I thought I was really concentrating on getting a good interview with him, and it did that. That's one of the things a random tandem can do.
Yeah.
Is mean you get to have a good chat with people, spend a good day with them. And the riding was great, of course. It's Danny McCaskill. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, you get to genuinely scare people as well, putting them on the back.
Yeah, not my intention, but wow. I get the feeling. I can't go on the back, obviously, but I get the feeling, and you could say better than anyone, it is quite scary on the back with no brakes. Oh,
yeah. It's terrible. Yeah, terrifying and terrible. But that drop into the quarry is much steeper than looks on video.
Yeah.
Steep enough, I did it on a normal bike, and it's pretty sketchy. But on the back of that, it must have been terrifying. So
yeah, fair play to Danny for taking that on. Actually, I did line up with Blake on that drop, and Blake wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't fancy it.
Because something, actually. Blake was like, no, I don't think I can't want to do that.
Let's leave it, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, so I am planning on hopefully doing the Ardrock Enduro on the tandem later this year, if my foot's better in time. I broke me blooming foot.
Bust your foot.
Yeah. So back, getting us back onto Enduro. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there right away.
No, it's all right. It's good. It's good to talk about what's been happening this week. But it has been round 4 of the Enduro World Series over in Val di Fassa, Canazai. Did you see the videos from the Enduro World Series of the actual, the trails?
I did.
The views.
Wicked videos, actually. Really, really great. And just that place just looks unbelievable.
I've not been to that part.
Mountainous is an understatement.
Italian Dolomites. So I raced over that way in 2000, I think. Cortina d'Ampezzo.
Right, yeah.
Amazing part of the world. It's where they filmed a lot of Cliffhanger, did you know?
In the Dolomites. That's what it looks like, though, isn't it? It just looks like precipitous. It's just so crazy looking. An amazing place. And I mean, the rounds for EWS have been the real star of this year's series. Every single one has just been like, I want to swear. I'm not going to swear, but they deserve swear words. They're so good.
Yeah.
Really, really fantastic. Rotorua, obviously, just classic looking. Then you've got Tasmania that's just sort of out of this world almost.
And they've sort of made a whole industry there in that town, Derby. Yeah. It's just a whole mountain bike resort now that's come from the Enduro World Series.
And I tell you what, I fancy going there. It looks great.
I now fancy going to Val di Fassa.
Yes.
I mean, it's worked with me for Madeira. That's one of the main reasons I went there on a riding holiday, seeing obviously the races over the years the videos that have come out of Madeira.
Yeah.
So it definitely works for getting people into these places to go and ride their bikes.
Yeah, it's good to see that the actual pro racing can have that kind of effect and shows how important it is to all of these resorts. I mean, look at Whistler. That's built on a history of just huge events.
And I've not heard of this place before, to be fair. And it looks like the trails are amazing. This time it was just one day of racing, which is not unusual for the EWS. They do it quite a lot. But
what's your thoughts on that? The one day versus 2 day?
If I was racing it, I would like it. It just seems easier. It's red hot.
Crazy.
I don't know. Some of those 2 day races, like Finale, it's just hard. Two really hard days. Yeah. Really early morning starts as well. So
As a format, I've got to say I prefer the 2 day event. Yeah. I think that sings of the word enduro more to me. And I do like the idea of the racers going to bed. The leaders having to deal with that pressure.
True.
I think pro racing, pressure is everything. and I love the idea of them going to bed thinking, oh, I've just got to hold on. And that can play havoc with your mind. And it also gives other riders who are on the chase, you know, just trying to build that next day. And I do prefer the 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it worked out as a great. So should we set up the position before this round? Obviously, Martin Mays was absolutely smashing this series in the men's, but big change.
I feel like there's been a dark time at the Enduro World Series with I mean, obviously, I'm coming from downhill and enduro, and the really, I can't think of any sort of doping, scandals in downhill, really. And enduro has been really suffering this last year from. It begins with Richie Rude and Jarrod Graves.
We've
seen the return of Richie Rude this weekend, but yes. 8 months off.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's stay on the drugs for a minute.
And Martin Mays, has lost Rotorua and Tasmania. His results have been taken away from him because of this doping offence.
Yeah, it's such a shame. So he's been caught for using a masking agent. He's got a 90-day ban. The masking agent's name is Probenecid.
Yeah.
So he's been banned for using Probenecid. Now, the reason he says he uses this is because it was an isolated case. It was in a New Zealand enduro round before Rotorua. He had a nasty cut on his shin, which got infected really badly.
It was a really muddy race.
Yeah, and it was not a nice infection. It was kind of like, maybe have to cut your leg off if we don't sort this out type infection. It was serious. So he did what he could. He tried to look at whether this was a substance he could use or not. Unfortunately for where they were, he couldn't get service. So he's got this very plausible story. I think for the way he's handled it, he came to this race at Valdivassa, spoke to the press. I think it's a ridiculous, stupid mistake. But maybe a situation there's not really much else he could have done.
I mean, I'm a massive Martin Mays fan.
Yeah.
Great rider, great bloke. Filmed with him a few times, lovely bloke.
Yeah.
Big fan of his. But, and I totally agree with what you said. Yeah. I think he's got a really plausible, I don't want to say excuse, but reason for using that because it was a serious injury. The biggest mistake here was trying to get a TUE, so a therapeutic use.
Yes.
He could use that thing. He just needs a letter to say, I've taken this. But he said he Googled it, but they didn't have any signal. Mm. He needed to do that 2 days after and then put in for one, and they didn't, basically.
Right.
So he then got a positive result, and then they put one in, but it was too late by then.
Too late. Mm.
So they sort of dropped the ball a bit, where they in the first instance, tried to work out whether he could take it or not, and they didn't, and then they sort of forgot about it until it was too late. So he could have got away with it. And Martin's saying it is a really big mistake, and he's gutted, obviously. He's been smoking it this year. And so even though it sounds like it's completely fine, it should have been fine. It's not doping as we think it's doping.
No.
Still, his year has now been written off, and he's had such an incredible start to the year.
Well, I mean, to blow the best year of your career and the career we're talking about being Martin Mays, who's having quite a career, that is a big loss. Whether he can ever build that momentum again, it's going to be difficult. If anyone can, probably someone like Martin Mays can. But you say he's written the year off. Mont Saint Anne Worlds is now his focus.
Yeah, yeah.
So there could be an incredible story here. We'll have to wait and see.
I would imagine that track suits him quite well. Long, physical, rough, gnarly track.
Yeah, yeah. He could do well. You never know.
We don't want to dwell on it too much, but this is the return of Richie Rude. He has had 8 months enforced off his bike because of that doping infringement. That story is slightly longer. And there was controversy, actually, with Cecile Ravenel on Instagram saying that Richie is only giving us half the story. And the story is that Richie Rude ran out of water at the round last year and borrowed somebody's water bottle and then got popped. We're presuming it's Jarrod Graves's, who also got popped. But they were pretty lenient with Rude, to be fair, but they're saying it was just trace of whatever it was. Saying it's over-the-counter supplements, but still not good enough. Yeah. 8 months off.
Do you think with these, like you said, it's a little bit of a dark time with regards to drug offences in EWS, but it's strange that it coincides with the introduction to drug testing in EWS. So is it a huge case of just naivety on the part of the right racers that they just weren't up to speed like downhillers and cross-country riders have been, because that has been drummed into them over decades of racing? Whereas EWS races have basically come into a sport that's had a much more relaxed vibe to it.
I don't know.
That's not saying that they're sat there smoking marijuana joints just before they drop in.
I think your average downhiller hasn't got a clue about the thing that Martin Mays got caught for. I think downhillers, I don't think there's a case of, all downhillers know what they can and can't take. That's probably not the case. Some of them maybe, but not all of them.
Right, right.
I think it's a real shame that this is the first year they got tested and now we're having lots of problems.
Yeah.
I think it's slightly circumstantial, like Martin Mays's case. It's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see how things progress, but let's hope that's the end of it.
Oh, it's such a shame for Martin Mays. But like you say, let's focus on Richie Roode's return and what a return it was.
We're talking about confidence. You think that the head pressure. Games will come into it. It doesn't seem to with Richie Roode. He's come out swinging.
Yeah.
I sort of think this of Martin Mays, actually. I think he's enforced time away from the race. He's going to train like mad. Come back swinging, as Richie Roode has just done.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into the race. But yeah, Richie Roode's definitely come back and not seem to have missed a beat. It's pretty challenging. It was only one day, like we said, five stages, finishing off with Queen Stage, which was the biggest drop, 1,000 metres, which I've done things that long, 6 kilometres, 1,000 metres. They are really, really hard. I've raced a stage like that, or more than a stage, at the Trans-Savoie, and that's such a tough thing to do. You wouldn't, until you ride 1,000 metres in one go as fast as you can, you don't realise how big it is. So yeah, that was the final stage of the day as well, so going to be a lot of tired bodies when it comes to that. Super hot. It's about 35 degrees over in the Dolomites, and there's 3,500 metres total, mostly lift assisted. So there's only one climb they had to actually ride up, the rest of it was lift assisted. It was over 2,000 metre altitude as well, so that is definitely high enough to feel it in the legs and lungs.
Yeah, and they definitely seem to be struggling with the heat. The heat seemed to be the big problem for a lot of the riders. That is, you know, very high temperatures. And if you're also dealing with like that altitude, it is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sun beating down, steep and loose trails actually look really good fun from the videos. One of those places you think, oh, I'd love to go and ride there. Racing's slightly different, but the tracks look brilliant to ride. Italy, famous for racing enduro. You know, the Italians and the French really started off this sport. And, you know, we saw that. There was a guy called Marcello Pezzenti, Italian racer, had a really good weekend, except for the final stage. But he was right up there. So it's good to see these.
And he was, until that final stage, he was winning the amateur.
Yeah.
Well amateur, the privateer.
Privateer fund.
Which was a real shame. So he nearly got that. It was a bit of a shame he missed out, like you say, on that final stage where the pressure was boiling, because that was a big stage and basically so long that no one was safe.
Absolutely. We saw some injuries. We saw some crashes. Well, one big one from Jesse Melamed on stage one. He's had a bad few years, really, Jesse. This crash, he broke his tib and fib. So fracture. So... it's just in a cast. It's nothing needs going on there, but his finger is broken and dislocated. So it sounds like that could need surgery. So another pretty serious injury for Jesse Melamed. Hoping to be back for Whistler, which is in 6 weeks' time, but that is going to be close.
That's going to be tight.
That's going to be hard for him. I can imagine he'll probably do it, but find it very difficult to do it.
Yeah.
Joan Borelli wasn't racing. He tore his ACL. Cecile Ravenel was back on a bike, but just sort of cruising around.
Great to see. I mean, I actually chatted to her a little bit at Fort William because she was hanging out there at the World Cup race. And I was asking her how she was feeling. And she said she's definitely going all in the right direction, but it's definitely taken her an awful long time to get back from this nasty injury. To see her back at the event is definitely a big step forward. Whistler is a potential return for her riding in an event itself.
Yeah.
And could be the very last thing someone like Isabeau Cadurier or Noga Carême would want to hear, because talking about dealing with pressure, they're going to have to stop her coming back and winning and essentially stealing their year off them, because if she can come back and take a win, those guys are going to have to, are going to have to admit maybe it was because she wasn't there. And that is I've been in that position and it is the worst. You're basically robbed of what happened. All that went before is gone.
In the short term, it's difficult. In the long term, you still have those results against your name.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, long term, definitely. It's the people who got the titles is what you remember, for sure.
You can't take anything away from it. I mean, I've raced plenty of national champs where people didn't show up because back in the day, they didn't want to wear the jersey. So people didn't do them. But still, I look back and I've got the medals on my wall. So
yeah, and of course... Cecile Ravenel has also had the same problem with Tracy Mosley herself, is that until Tracy kind of left the sport, she basically was taking second position everywhere. So I guess she's been in that situation and would probably be the last one to announce that it was all because she had an injury. I'm sure she wouldn't.
There's talk of Timo coming back as well. I saw on one of the EWS videos.
I've heard that, but I've looked into the entry sheets for the next two rounds and I can't see her name there. Obviously, probably being Timo, she doesn't need to be on the... They probably... An extra spot for Tracy Mosley, wouldn't they? Works.
Yeah, you think so.
But the entries are closed at this point, and I can't see her name on the list, which is, I hope she is going to race. I heard she was going to be potentially racing in Les Ors next week.
Right, okay.
That's what I heard.
But, she's been racing, she's been racing cross country, I think.
Yeah, still and she rode active. Tweedlove, where she won the Masters category, as you would expect. She was right on pace with Bex Barona.
Yes.
And... who was the other young girl who was racing really well? I think it was Ella Connolly, who was also there. And yeah, she was right on pace with those girls. So she ain't lost any speed.
No, absolutely not.
Could she come back and win one? That would really be devastating for everybody, wouldn't it?
I bet she probably could.
Kind of hope she does, but I sort of hope she doesn't. Yeah. Yeah.
So coming into this round, obviously with Mays being taken out, his points have gone. So it's now opened up to the men's. Florian Nicolai is the new leader. But also there's two new winners. So over Rotorua, was actually won by Keegan Wright. So well done to him.
Congratulations, yeah.
And Florian Nicolai in Tasmania.
Yeah, so they're now EWS winners. That's great, isn't it? it's a shame when that sort of happens. And like you say, it's retrospective, but congratulations to them both. But it certainly worked out for Florian Nicolai in the overall because he's now the overall leader.
Yeah, and even on the video with Rick, he said that he was feeling a bit nervous now coming into this race because things have changed.
a little bit. One thing we did see, so we're coming into this, Martin Mays isn't racing, but he's at the event. His points are gone, like you said, but he has held on to his points from Madeira.
Yeah,
because he was tested at Madeira and he was as per normal for all of his testing.
Yep.
So it's only those two rounds of Rotorua and Tasmania he's lost.
Only those two wins and two queen stages.
That's all. they're gone. But like, it does leave an incredibly interesting elite men's field now. So we've got Florian Nicolai leading. Sam Hill was right back up to speed this weekend.
On it.
Yeah. And I think he really enjoyed that heat. It suited him right down to the ground.
I think it's a new frame actually on that 29er, they're saying. I was trying to read up on it. It's different angles, it looks the same, but different angles.
Apparently the front triangle's new. It's got a steeper seat angle and slacker head angle.
Slacker.
So going in the more in that direction.
We're
all seeing. They're getting more and more like Chris Porter's original design.
Not quite so
extreme, but it's getting there.
But Sam Hill had a great weekend, actually. He was eighth on stage two, but that was his lowest of the whole race. He won stage three, so definitely on it. But it was Richie Rude who came back swinging and won four of the five stages.
Yeah, I mean, that first stage, I mean, he must have been unbelievably pumped to prove a point in that stage. He was 8 seconds up.
Eight seconds on Sam Hill, yeah.
Yeah, that is, I mean... Anyone who can put 8 seconds into Sam Hill when Sam Hill's not riding too bad, man, you are,
sounds impossible to me.
Yeah, it really does sound impossible, but that's what he did. And he pretty much set up the day from that point on.
Eddie Masters was right there, though. He's having a great year, enduro-wise. Yeah. And actually, he said that it's going so well that he's missing next week's World Cup downhill to race the Enduro World Series because he's sitting in third overall. He finished fourth, going a bit further ahead.
Matt Walker, his teammate, came eighth.
No, Matt Walker, seventh. Yeah, seventh. Pivot. That's another great result there. So Pivot team doing really well. But yeah, Ed Masters going really well. He had a 21st on stage two, which is a bit of a shame.
Yes.
Lost 11, 12 seconds there. But other than that, he was going really strong. So good weekend for him.
Yeah, but those 11, 12 seconds, that's the difference between fourth and third. So it just goes to show you just cannot have... a bad stage like that and hope to be on the top steps of the podium, that top three. Because you look at that top three of Richie Rude, Sam Hill and Florian Nicolai, they are not the lowest position any of them have is eighth.
Yeah.
And Eddie Masters, yeah, that 21st. I mean, he would have been definitely in the top three if he hadn't read
it. Well, 10 seconds over. How long was the actual ride race time?
There's 35 and a half minutes for Richie Rude. So
10 seconds in half an hour's worth of racing is nothing, isn't it?
It's crazy how close. And how, well, it just shows how consistent you have to be. It's impossible.
Yeah. Well, that third voice, by the way, is Jack the Man over there in the corner on the camera. Who, I tell you what, he'd enough know his stuff.
He's too scared to have a mic on, Jack.
Yeah, but he knows we want a mic on him, but he won't let us do it.
He won't let us do it. Talking about consistency, well, Marcelo Pezzenti was going really well, but crashed on the last stage. So he was 5th, 10th, 11th, 11th, and then 40th. Who's that Italian guy who I have to say I had not heard of before this race? But a real shame on that final massive stage, because he would have been, you got to think, top 10 with that, surely. And his best result ever.
Yeah, just looking down the results there, look at Keegan Wright. So he's had that incredible result from Rotorua, but this is the sort of consistency you're faced with over a season. He's coming in on 15th place, but his stage is a 16th, 28th, 30th, 16th, 20th. I mean, that's a guy who can win a race, but you just... Putting it together, it just shows the level those top guys are riding at and the consistency they're managing to maintain.
Yeah.
Is really unbelievable.
A bit of a surprise. Well, I know Greg Callan's coming back from injuries, but he's having a bit of a hard go at it. He's come 36th with some 39th, the 25th, the 48th, 30th, etc. So I really expect to see Greg getting back up near the top as the season goes on, but it's taking him a little while to do it. Mark really... Scott down there in 42nd as well. So
it's a very interesting list of riders now in that top 100 men.
Yeah.
In EWS right now. I mean, there's a minute splitting them apart, basically.
Adrian Day, he finished sixth, but it was a 49th and a 24th, and then a fourth.
Yeah, so he had a terrible start.
Yeah.
Terrible start.
I sort of would expect him to be more consistent to that, but again, coming back from injuries, struggling a bit still maybe to get that form.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about in the women's? We've got Isabeau Cadurier running away with it. She was, again, on top form in Val di Fassa.
Yep.
She's won all the queen stages. She's won all the overalls. Yeah. She's got a very healthy lead in the overall championship with, I think it's over 500 points now. So she's looking really good for the overall series. But behind her, we've got popping up into the top three. She hasn't been there to this point. Is Andrianne Lanthier-Nadeau. And she is... really happy with that result, because she said she really rode relaxed, enjoyed herself, and then to get a great result, and that is a great feeling, isn't it? When you're having a really great time and that ends up in a great result,
absolutely,
you're on to something.
Yeah, she's
great result for her.
She sort of swapped stages with Noga Corum over the weekend, but ALN got second, Noga Corum third.
Is that how I'm supposed to refer to her? ALM.
I like that.
The ALM.
The easier way of doing it.
Yeah, it definitely is easier, yeah.
Ines Thomas was going really well. She had fourth, third, and another fourth. But she punctured on stage four, lost a load of time. I've written it down somewhere. I've lost it. But 3 minutes, something like that, I think. Mm. So that took her, you know, to lose 3 minutes, I think, I don't know how she quite lost that. I mean, with a puncture, normally you try and ride it out. Potentially the tyre came off or something, I don't know. But that's a lot of time, unfortunately. So
yeah, it really is. It really is a lot of time to lose. And I think Noga Carem's got to be the one person who could really bring the fight to Isabeau Cadurier if Timo and Cecile Ravenel don't return.
Yeah.
But I find it amazing that Isabeau Cadurier can put these times in, because... I see you've noted in our script notes today that her overall time was just under 41 minutes for the entire event in Val di Fassa. So, and that time is unbelievably fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she's a tiny, I mean, when you meet her in person, I can't stress how tiny she is. She's like shoulder height.
Yeah, she is.
Really little. So... She's getting that bike down the hill at some incredible speeds. She beat an awful lot of very fast men with that time.
Yeah.
Really impressive stuff.
Well, I always look at the Queen stage, especially as the last stage of the day. It's the biggest stage. I think that really shows you people's form, show you how well, how good they're dealing at sort of riding tires, their fitness, their bike. And Kadyria won that by 8 seconds over ALN, 14 over Pugin, 19 over Ines Thoma and 20 over Karem.
20 over Noga Karem. Wow, that's a huge amount of time.
Same in the men's. It was, you know, Richie Rude, plus three over Hill. So pretty tight, actually. Mm. 10 back to Nikolai, 11 to Day, 12 to Ed Masters. So really tight in the men's, actually, especially after a big, long day out on the bike.
Yeah.
And that was a 12-minute stage, I think, for the men.
Yeah. How do you think Mays would have fared against Rude? It would have been close, wouldn't
it?
It would
be a big battle, that.
Well, what's the next weekend? No, obviously Mays is not going to be around,
no. No. Well, the next round is Les Ors in France, so it's kind of a home round for Isabelle Couturier.
Yeah.
Could be a big party there if she gets another win.
Yeah.
And I guess for Florian Nicolai as well, is he's going into that. So it's the Frenchies again.
Well, we'll talk about French. So almost half of the top 20 in the men's race were French. We'll talk about France and Italy. Basically, they've been doing it for a long time now. But these guys are young, so there's just a history of it there, definitely. Dimitri Tordo, French, in fifth place. Day, sixth. Kevin Miguel, he rides for that Sun team in ninth. Louis Jondal came 13th. So that's the guy, Jack, were you saying he won the French Enduro at Les Ors, which is...
Not Les Ors,
somewhere else.
Valdalos.
Yeah, Valdalos. Maybe, yeah. So he came 13th. He won the Wynn Masters Privateer Fund of €1,000. So definitely... you know, a young generation of French enduro racers are there.
Yeah, and guess who's winning? What country is the leading junior men's racer from? Yeah. France.
Riding what? A Commensal.
Commensal. Antoine Vidal. He has had a great season so far.
However, at the top of men's, obviously you've got the US with Richie Rude, Aussie, you've got a Kiwi and Ed Masters.
So, yeah, no, that's true. They've definitely got a strong... Just back to Antoine, though. He's got a first in everything, bar the race in Rotorua, where overall he finished second.
Yeah.
But other than that, he's got first place in all of the Queen stages and all of the overalls.
Right.
So that's quite a talent coming forward. He's a great talent, and more French dominance on the way by the looks of things.
We've got Lee Johnson, a young British rider who, when I raced Enduros going back 3 years now, he was putting in serious times in the junior. He's been steadily rising up. And 11th place is pretty serious. He's got a 7th on one of the stages and a 38th on the last one. So dropped low time there. He was actually out at the Andes Pacifico with me and Blake. Super fast rider. Rides that pole. Definitely a different bike to most of the people out there. It's huge, long, low and slack. That's the bike that puts it to the extremes. Mm-hmm. Definitely keep an eye on him in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. What about some predictions for what's going to happen in this next week with Les Ors coming up?
Yep.
I think it would be fair to say we can probably predict Isabeau's going to be strong.
Yep.
In the men's... What's your experience telling you?
Well, it looks like Richie Rude is just doing it now.
Wow, it's only one round back.
I know, but
it's the round he's been aiming at. He's now got to keep that. He's got to keep that intensity up.
He won four or five stages. Got to feel pretty good.
He dominated finale at the end of last year.
Finale in last year. Yeah, Sam Hills is.
Sam Hills on the move.
That's his best result of the year. So. Yeah, I think
a good battle between those three.
I think Sam Hill enjoys pressure in a way that must be very hard to handle. He's got an air about him when everything's going right of, why are you even getting on your bikes to race me?
I feel like that's faded a little bit. Just because people can come out like Martin Mays and Richie Rude and beat him now.
Yeah.
But who knows, he's still there, definitely. He's in the video with Rick, he said that he's really still looking for the overall, like he has been all year. So he doesn't necessarily need to go out and win races like we saw at finale last year.
Yeah,
he wasn't going there to try and win it. He's just trying to wrap up the overall, which means the most to him. And there's people like Richie Rude just aren't going to be able to do that.
No,
because actually, if you look at the overalls now, down in 37th is Richie Rude. In 38th is Martin Mays.
But what if Richie wins every single race?
I still don't think he can he?
What is quite a climb. Well, he could. Mathematically, he could do it.
Right.
But it's got to be unlikely with the people. Experienced contenders like Sam Hill in the equation, he's not going to let an overall slip away for the sake of trying to win a stage or trying to win an overall event. He's like you say, it's the championships that mean something to that guy. And obviously he's going to love winning races, but not at the expense of winning the overall.
Do you think he's changed his mindset now from when he was a downhill racer? So say maybe he used to go balls to the wall on a downhill run. Do you think now
he has changed? I don't think so, because it was rare to see Sam Hill. He did go balls to the wall, but it's very rare to see him crash. Right. And it's still the same now.
Yeah.
I don't think people really change the way they ride. I think it's always similar. You might change your fitness and things like that, but I think people ride how they ride. And Sam Hill will ride more conservatively when it comes to overalls, but when it comes to the middle of the season when he's trying to win races, I actually don't think he changes the way he rides.
Yeah.
It's pretty tight in the points, really. Florian Nicolai's got 1,740. Sam Hill's 200 back or 220 back. Then Ed Masters, he's doing really well. Only 60 points back from Sam Hill. So like I said, he is now going to concentrate on the Enduro World Series. But actually after the race, Wynn, his brother, interviewed him and he hadn't decided then. He just announced it on Instagram afterwards. So things change quickly in the world of downhill and Enduro racing.
They really do. And Wynn was always going to the EWS, actually. So
yeah.
I wonder if maybe there was a little bit of like a chat after that, brotherly chat, saying, look, dude, you're in third place in a World Series here. What are you thinking?
Yeah.
I think you better change your plans.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know. In the women's, we've got, so Isabel, like I said, is leading. You've got Noga Karem in second place with, she is quite a gap back. It is 500 points back. But only 200 points between her and Morgan Schaar, who didn't have a great run in Val de Fassa, to be fair.
Yeah.
ALN, I catch on quickly, is in fourth place. She's a further 150 back. And then Bex Barona down in fifth place, but obviously injured.
She didn't have a good race. She looks like she crashed on stage one, I think. Sounds like she's broken a couple of ribs. So that, you'd imagine, is going to put her out for next week as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Ella Connolly down in sixth place. I remember she was a sort of bit of a dark horse, young racer, but she had a great result in, was it Madeira, where she really like popped up in at the top three had a great result. So she could make a move. Someone I'm looking forward to seeing back, and I'm hoping it's going to happen probably in Whistler rather than Les Ors, is Jill Kintner.
Yeah.
Just remember, she took second place
in
Tasmania. And yeah, I mean, it's amazing that someone's got that much talent, that much speed, and she's not in the series. It would be really great to see her back. So hopefully in Whistler, where I'm hoping we're going to be.
Yes,
to witness it live.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't wait to go and watch EWS live this year. It'll be absolutely nuts.
It'd be great on the outside of the tape. Thank God I'm not on the inside of the tape.
Well, we might be able to talk you into going on the inside of the tape for some of it.
Busy.
Too busy, are you?
I might actually race the, what's it called? The Garbanzo downhill, which is as good as an Enduro World
Series. Yeah. Now you told me that race, the Garbanzo in Whistler, is an absolute mess.
I've raced it once, and that was a long time ago, before I'd ever raced Enduro, and it was like racing Enduro on a downhill bike.
Yeah.
Lower back pain. It was horrendous. And I got beat by Sam Hill by about a minute, I think.
So behind the scenes here at GMBM, we're planning maybe going to Whistler this year, and we're looking at things we can do.
Yep.
I asked Neil, could I race the Garbanzo on either my electric Sender, or could I race it on my tandem? He just laughed and shrugged and said, no, mine. No, it's not for you.
I don't think so.
I'm looking at other events at this point.
Yeah, as far as I remember, there's some steep, horrible, rocky shoots.
It doesn't sound great.
Obviously, you've raced the Air DH, but you want
something new. It's a much friendlier course. You can go a lot slower. It's a lot more safety. And to be fair, I'm hardly hitting the lines fast. I'm more of a slow-mo edit.
Wow.
I asked the guys, actually, the edit guys, What we used to do when I was making a road bike party film, sometimes because I'm a trials rider and I hop around on the spot a lot, we used to add 10% in the edit to speed through the hops.
It's cheating.
It's not cheating. The speed police. Same as slow. I don't care about the speed police. Okay. I'm not a downhill racer. I don't care. And I said to him, hey, look, Danny Mac looks scared on the back of that bike. In the next clip, why didn't you add 10%? Because it will look more like how scared Danny is. They wouldn't do it. They would not do it.
No.
Jack looked at me in disgust. Give me that look, Jack. Oh, God, it's awful. It's really bad. It's really bad. They wouldn't do it. Apparently, the speed police are really important. Not in my life.
Moving on.
I'm glad I've got that on air, actually, because Jack annoyed me last week where he was like, oh, God.
Jack is really annoying sometimes. what's next weekend is World Cup Downhill in Andorra.
Oh my God, it's too much to look forward to next weekend. I don't like weekends like that.
No, I don't.
Because how am I supposed to do that?
Also, I'm not here. I'm going to Canada on Friday. So
for the BC bike race.
Well, I'm taking part in one day of the BC bike race I'm actually not fit enough to do all of it. And going to Squamish to make some videos, so looking forward to that.
And you're scouting a little bit for Squamish, because that is on my hit list of where I would like to go when I'm in Whistler. So I'm expecting some kind of like knowledge, Neil.
Well, try my best. I might not be able to get too much knowledge in 3 days, but I'll try my best.
Yeah, well, a little bit. And I'd just like to find a really big rock roll that my tandem would go over.
Well, some big rocks there.
A big rock roll. One of those ones you have to go really slow down.
I don't know much about it, but I do know there's some big rocks there.
I'm going to go down it slow and I'm going to speed it up. I'm going to add 15%.
So I don't know who's doing the podcast next week, but we'll work it out. But thanks for joining us. Of course, this is available on YouTube, probably watching it, or Spotify, Deezer now as well, and iTunes. So get involved, get subscribed. Catch you later.
Thanks, mate.